Mr. Matthews, on your campaign website, you lay out a platform in very broad terms using phrases like pro-liberty, pro-law and order, and pro-parents' rights. Can you be more specific on what those phrases mean with respect to actual policy positions?
Pro-parental rights means that you get to choose how you educate your child. You, as the parent, have the right. Pro-liberty means, and I'm glad you asked this, liberty cannot be given without consent. And when I look into the schools and I see biological men playing in women's sports, that's an issue. And you, as a parent, should have the choice on whether and where you send your kid to school. Thank you.
And Ms. Caressel, you list your top policy issues as healthcare, public education, and small business. With respect to healthcare specifically, quoting from your campaign website, our profit-driven healthcare system is broken. What do you believe that the state can do about that?
I think the state can work on creating policies and laws to help our citizens and to fix that system in some way. Not quite sure how, except actually the big thing that I can think of is the underinsured. All right, there's a large number of us that have insurance, but we have a large deductible. We have a high deductible. In fact, I'm one of those individuals. I have a high deductible in which when I get sick, I have to figure out, is this something that's going to go away and I can fix it on my own, or am I eventually going to have to go to the doctor and pay a higher bill because of it? And so that's what's broken in our system. And so at the State House, what are laws and policies that we can do to help those individuals so that when they are sick, they are going to go and get the health that they need? Because a healthy workforce means more profits, means that we will benefit the entire community. And so I will work with experts to figure out what is the best way forward to make sure that we are providing that best health care for all of our community members.
And I want to kind of turn that around a little bit and ask Mr. Matthews for your thoughts with respect to the health care question. Is there more that the state can do to lower the cost of health care for Ohioans, which I think many of us would agree are far too high?
Yeah, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Sheila, so if you rebuttal, you could definitely respond, but what that really means, I believe what Sheila's saying, is expanding government again to ensure that we have a single payer system, which I believe has been a complete failure when we look at how it's not controlled costs all the way back to Obamacare. Today, it's been 129% increase in healthcare costs. And we were promised the opposite under Obamacare. I do not believe the solution to all of our issues is the government, because once the government gets involved, once there is expansion in the government, that means more government spending, and we know that equates to inflation, and we are all feeling that today. Back in 2022, we hit the highest inflation mark since the 1980s. That was up to 9%, and that is directly correlated to government spending. That is economics 101. So when we're looking at the healthcare system, we need to really look at what is good healthcare. What is the bare minimums for healthcare? Do we need to have a nuclear medicine machine in every single office? Can we create competition by having and requiring price transparency amongst the hospitals and the insurance companies? Those are some steps that we can take. Let's create competition back in healthcare, instead of just giving it over to the government, where we've seen, not just in our country, but across the world, the quality of care collapsing and the dramatic expense that has increased across the world. Thank you.
Can I follow?
Sure.
So Ty here talks about inflation and being government related. Let's be honest, it's not. It is the corporations. They are the ones that are affecting inflation. Look at those top billionaires. See what they made before 2020 and see what they are making now. 10 times, 8 times, definitely more than what our regular citizens are making. And so when we're talking about inflation, it is not government that are leading the inflation. It is the corporations that are leading that inflation, because they are looking at the profits and saying, ooh, we can make more and more. And I want to definitely highlight that for everyone to recognize where the inflation is actually coming from.
Well, I guess I've kind of shocked. Inflation, the government is the only entity in this country that can actually print. I guess it's hard for me to respond to that, because inflation is a direct cause of government spending. I don't know, I guess I really can't comprehend your response that billionaires are doing this. Billionaires aren't printing more money off. They're not increasing the money supply. It is quite literally the government doing that.
Let's move on the topic of education. Mr. Matthews, you are a supporter of the so-called backpack bill, which is currently in committee in the House and has yet to be introduced in the Senate. Critics say it could cost upwards of $1 billion and would at the same time gut funding for Ohio's public schools. What is your response to those who say that this measure would be in violation of the legislature's mandate in the state constitution to fund the public school system?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of misconceptions here and misunderstandings of what school choice is. This billion-dollar number, I've heard it in the primary, I hear it now. Moving forward from that, school choice is simply, I believe that every child has the right to receive a great education. Every child, and that is our goal. I said this before, I believe that once we start looking at the institution and loving the institution over the child and the product of that education, we're wrong. I am not for, again, I got soundbited last time for saying this, Chris, so I got to watch myself, but I am not for increasing taxes when it comes to school choice. I don't think there's any Republican in the State House right now that is in favor of school choice that thinks this is going to raise your taxes. And I believe that if a private school will receive public funding, then that private school needs to be held to the same standards. What school choice does is it allows you as a parent to have your choice on where you send your kid. And my concern is the children of this community receiving the best education they possibly can receive. Do I think the public schools in our district are an issue? No, but we have to look across the state, and we have to look at cities across the state where this does impact. I've had conversation with superintendents across this district and also in Columbus. They are not opposed to school choice. So I think there's a lot of misconceptions here.
Ms. Caressel, again, quoting from your campaign website on the topic of education, you write that, and I'm quoting here, the state should reinvest public funds in all levels of public education and vocational training, unquote. How would that differ from what we see now, if at all?
Well, the thing that I really want to focus on here is in regards to the public funds that are going to private vouchers. There is documentation that they're with the new funding, with the school vouchers, that there are individuals who actually don't need to use the vouchers. Their family makes enough money to send those their students, their children, to those private schools. However, they made money because they received those private vouchers. And that is what I mean in regards to making sure that we are reinvesting our public education funds into our public schools. We still have, we have parents' choice. We have open enrollment, right? You can choose to send your child where you want to. But if you choose to send a child to a private institution, then you need to decide how you're going to pay for that tuition. That should not be up to me paying my taxpayer dollars or anyone else's taxpayer dollars to send someone else's child to a private school where you want them to go. You can choose to send them to the school in the next district because you feel like they are more suited for your child, or you can keep them in your district. And when I'm talking about reinvesting, I'm talking about supporting all levels of our education, and so making sure that we are fully supporting them as much as possible.
At this point, we will take a brief break. We will continue with more of our candidate forum this evening with Republican Ty Matthews and Democrat Sheila Caressel, the candidates for the 83rd district seat in the Ohio House of Representatives. We'll continue in just a moment.
Your news authority is 1330 WFIN and now at 95.5 FM. WFIN says thanks for listening. And remember, you can listen around the clock on your computer, smartphone, or tablet. Start your day with Chris Oaks and Good Mornings. And stay with us all day long. You also get the Infinity Sports Network, plus all of our locally originated sports programming. Listen live whenever you like at 1330 WFIN, 95.5 FM, and at WFIN.com, where you can get our free mobile apps for iOS or Android.
Your home of the Ohio State Buckeyes is your sports authority, 1330 WFIN and 95.5 FM. Keep up with day-to-day happenings around Buckeye football each week with Buckeye Roundtable. The broadcast crew will have weekly features with Coach Ryan Day, former players and coaches, as well as other college football experts. Join us each week for Buckeye Roundtable here on your home for Ohio State football. And for a list of days and times for each week's show, click on the sports schedule at WFIN.com.
Your first look at business and the business of life happens each weekday morning on WFIN. Hi, this is Gordon Deal, inviting you to join me at 5 a.m. for This Morning, America's First News. We'll give you the top money and business news and information about managing your money and retirement savings. Plus, there's the latest on technology, e-commerce, careers, health, entertainment, and much more. This Morning, weekdays at 5 a.m. And check out the weekend edition Saturday mornings at 5 on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and now at 95.5 FM.
It's the weekly show on WFIN where we focus on Ohio sports. This is Matt Andrews. It's the Ohio Sports Magazine. Sunday mornings at 8 on your sports authority, 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
Your news authority is 1330 WFIN and now at 95.5 FM.
Once again, WFIN and the Findlay Hancock County Chamber of Commerce, happy for you to join us for tonight's candidate forum featuring the two individuals who are hoping to be the next representative of the 83rd District in the Ohio House of Representatives. We will continue with Republican nominee Ty Matthews and Democratic nominee Sheila Caressel live from 50 North in just a moment on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
This is Ed Lentz of OSU Extension. It's harvest season. Drivers will be sharing roads with combines and grain hauling vehicles. Please be alert, especially on roads with limited visibility. Watch out for equipment pulling in and out of fields. Drivers and farmers, let's work together this fall to keep our roads safe and accident-free.
This message from WFIN and 95.5 FM.
This is your sports authority. The NFL plays here on 1330 WFIN and 95.5 FM.
Monday night, NFL Week 4 wraps up in the Motor City as the 2-1 Lions host the undefeated Seattle Seahawks. It's all right here.
Monday night at 8, WFIN and 95.5 FM.
This evening for tonight's candidate forum at 50 North from WFIN and the Findlay Hancock County Chamber of Commerce. Once again, we are speaking with Republican Ty Matthews, Democrat Sheila Caressel, the two candidates for the 83rd district seat in the Ohio House of Representatives. Before we move on, I do have one last question with respect to the budget. When we were talking about this earlier, Mr. Matthews, you mentioned out of control spending, the words that you used. And I'm going to ask you both about this. Can you identify either a specific line item or even a category of spending, of state spending, that you would like, that you would seek to drastically reduce or even eliminate? We'll begin with Mr. Matthews.
Yeah, currently we have a balanced budget at the State House. What I'm talking about is working as a state and with the federal government and cutting federal government reckless spending, just giving out mass amounts of grant money to the federal government, to the states. We just financing projects, I believe, at every level of the government. Specifically within the state, I believe we need to look at freezing Medicaid. That's one of the things that we need to look at. We need to stop the government expansion. We need to look at how we can be more efficient let's look at the budget, and we're going to have to look at, because the revenues are short this year, is where are we going to cut? If we're going to make a balanced budget next General Assembly, we are going to have to cut to balance it. So definitely looking at different areas and working alongside our community leaders, Treasurer Walton here, the county treasurer, of what we can as a county accept on and cut, but also at the state level, looking at other ways we can make state government more efficient.
And Ms. Caruso.
So I'll be honest, I don't know all of the line items in the state budget. And so I can't necessarily tell you exactly which one I would decrease or which one I would eliminate. But what I would honestly tell everyone is that I would look at it all very critically and determine with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle what would be the best moving forward for the Ohioans. My opponent talks about Medicaid. Medicaid is for those who barely make minimum money. So why would we want to freeze that to help them improve their health, improve their status? And so that is definitely an area that I would not necessarily say freeze, but definitely something for us to really look at critically and see how we can help our community members who need it the most, because that is what Medicaid is for.
Yes.
I believe that incentivizing and creating a economic workforce, a diverse workforce, attracting businesses, not getting people hooked on the government dime, is the best way we move this country forward, not just endless government programs that people never get off of. We need to start looking at the exit ramp instead of the on-ramp to these programs. Work alongside of these people that need Medicaid. Work alongside of people that are on TANF. We need to work with people to get them off these programs instead of just expansion, expansion, expansion. Because once that happens, again, it's economics 101. More government spending equals inflation, which impacts every single one of us in this room. And it also takes people out of the workforce.
Ms. Kressel?
So I know someone whose main job is to be a waitress. And they absolutely love it. It connects them to their passions and to their skills. But as a waitress, they make too much money to be on Medicaid. This person doesn't have insurance because she can't afford it, unfortunately. And so why would we not want to expand Medicaid to help someone whose life is to be a waitress, to connect with individuals who are spending money in the restaurant business? I also mentioned earlier about building roads and providing that transportation, because that's when many people who are on Medicaid are there, is because they can't get to a job. So let's work with them in figuring out how can we get them that transportation so they can get that job, so they can get off of Medicaid. Yes, it would be great to get off of Medicaid. I don't think many people want to say, ooh, my entire life is wanting to be on Medicaid my entire life.
Yep, sure. Well, we can find common ground here, right? Because I also agree that's what we need to start focusing on. Again, looking at this issue, there's major contrast here, right? I don't believe that my tax dollar should be going to someone else because of their decisions on a career. I have earned my money. The people in this room have earned their money. It should go to what they want to spend their money on. However, we can find common ground, hopefully, on working together on ways that we can get people off these programs. And again, I hope tonight doesn't seem so divisive. Hopefully we can actually start working towards how do we find that off-ramp on these programs.
I want to ask about a question that up until just a few years ago was not something that we talked about at the state level very often, but now it is very much a state issue, and that, of course, is abortion. Last year, voters passed a ballot initiative that inserted language into the Ohio Constitution protecting a woman's right to reproductive care, including abortion. I know that each of you are going to come at this from a different point of view, so I'll pose the question this way. Is this the final word on the subject, and why or why not? And we'll start with Ms. Caruso.
It's in our Constitution. It is the final word. Plain and simple. Government should not be in the lives of pregnant women and their doctors. It is an ultimate decision between that pregnant person and their doctor. We don't know what is in everyone's lives. We don't know what circumstances of everyone is being involved in. If it is your choice to have that baby, then that is your choice. If it's your choice with your doctor that you have an atopic pregnancy, which means that the egg didn't actually get into the womb, and you could die from it, then the government should not be part of that decision. That is between you and your doctor. Additionally, the majority of our abortions are due to poverty. The majority of the people that make that decision is because they realize that they cannot actually afford that child. And so if we want to work on minimizing abortions, then we also need to work on improving the services and the things that we provide our pregnant people. Paid time off, affordable prenatal care, as well as giving birth. On average, it costs $11,000 to give birth to a child, up to $13,000 if it's a C-section. Do you have $13,000 lying around to have a birth? You don't know the circumstances of everyone. The government doesn't know the circumstances of everyone, and the government should not be part of that decision. And so, therefore, it's in the Constitution, and it is a done deal.
Mr. Matthews.
Yeah, I want to answer your question very concisely at first, and then I want to hit a couple points, though. The voters did choose, so right now that is where we are as a state. The only way that can choose is if we, as the people, as a ballot initiative, get and change that constitutional amendment, which I truly believe many of us really do not know what we got with that. And I believe that we are sold a false bill of goods there. Abortion up to the third trimester is a value, is what our community does not believe in that. And I truly believe most Americans do not believe in abortion up to the third trimester. My inherent thought on abortion, and I would just question and challenge everyone listening to this, is when does life begin? That changes things. Wherever you are out there, you say this is when life begins. That, to me, is a whole, not to me, this is a matter of fact, that is life. That is a person that has constitutional rights also. So you have to ask yourself, when does life begin? Democrat or Republican? And I do not believe, most Americans believe that life begins as soon as the baby exits the womb. There is life within the womb. It is up. I am pro-life at conception. That's my stance. I'm unashamed about that. I just challenge everyone to really think about that, because that is a human being in there. And when we talk about it being between the government staying out of the business, between a physician, that's no one's business to take a life. It's not my business. It's not anyone's business to be able to take a life. Again, I agree with Sheila, though. We need to really start focusing on how do we walk aside these women that are making this difficult decision. And I would, to me, let's defund Planned Parenthood, and let's fund organizations like the Women's Resource Center here in Findlay.
One of the other topics that has become a significant state issue in the past couple of years, the legalization of recreational marijuana. The law approved by voters last year lays out in broad terms how the tax revenue from marijuana sales is dispersed, but there are many different opinions when it comes down to the details. How should those revenues be earmarked? And we'll start with Mr. Matthews.
I believe that those revenues should be earmarked going back to law enforcement that sees how this impacts everyday humans in our community. This is going to cause issues. There are probably going to see a drop in some DUIs.